I had the privilege of learning the blues from some legendary musicians. I was one of the few white musicians playing blues back in the 60s, and I want to share some of those stories with you. The 60s and 70s were divisive times, but the blues connected us and always brought us together. I'm Billy Pruitt. Let's talk a blues streak. The year was 1958. Dwight Eisenhower was president. A gallon of gas was 30 cents. And I was all of 12 years old on a family vacation in New Orleans. But this wouldn't be an ordinary vacation. Instead, it would be my introduction to a legendary blues performer named Frogman, with Creole cuisines, limousines, and the prettiest women I've ever seen. I had convinced my parents to let me wander off by myself. It was another time, a different mindset, before commercial jets in a previous century. Although I was only 12, I stood 6 feet tall and looked able to take care of myself. I took to the New Orleans streets with a feeling of amazement. I was gone in the breeze, out cavorting and gallivanting on my own as I entered the French Quarter, the city's historical heart, famous for its vibrant nightlife and colorful buildings with wrought iron balconies. It was a treacherous current of humanity swept away by the pursuit of pleasure. Without realizing at first, I had entered into the red light district of New Orleans called Storyville. I was overwhelmed by the sheer number of mischievous choices a 12-year-old kid could get into. I remember the scent of inhaling the thick moisture of the heavy southern swamp-like humidity that I could see gently shining as it ran down the old-fashioned lamp columns in the heat of that hot summer night in New Orleans. You could hear music seeping out of every club and the crack of pool balls with the buzzing of neon signs that seemed to welcome everybody in. There was no way for me to know that I would soon be dazzled by being in the presence of greatness. It was the first week of February on the eve of Fat Tuesday, and everybody was getting ready for beads and bling of Mardi Gras. No need to set your watch when you got to town because people would party 24 hours a day. Through my eyes, it looked like the Twilight Zone. It was surreal. New Orleans. When funerals had brass bands, they would play solemn music on the way to the grave and happy music on the return. In New Orleans, music is as much a part of death as it is in life. Insane dancing on the street, dancing on the sidewalk, even dancing on the casket to please the spirits who protect the dead. Wow. What a town. I came upon this one place that looked interesting with black lights outside. I'd never seen that before. They were illuminating day glow murals of scantily dressed women painted on the walls that made the neon glow of the picture seem to magically float. And there was live music trickling out from the bar room. I'd never seen live music before, but that night, the Brass Rail Lounge was featuring Clarence Frogman Henry. I ain't got no home. There was an old-time Cajun barker standing out front by the door with its regional thick accent, motioning people in with one hand and holding the door open with the other, promising live music and a burlesque show that one had never seen. Como se va, beautiful female woman inside? Recha, rodna, se sabo, I guarantee it. I can tell that right now, Blu-ray. Much more better view inside, you better believe it, brah, kudat. Racha, come on in. No cover charge. Come on in, son. So I took his advice when he pointed inside and let me walk into the brass rail. I was trying to look tough and mature, even though I was unsuccessfully trying to grow Elvis sideburns. But I pretended that I knew what I was doing when I threw my leg around the bar stool and sat down like a cowboy. The dark room had a vintage, stale, musty odor, having been in business since 1933. And the bartender had a handlebar mustache. He pointed at me with his hand resting on the bar and said, "You want a draft beer?" And I just nodded yes. Since I was beginning puberty and I was afraid my thin voice might fluctuate into a crack, giving away that my vocal cords were undergoing major changes. It was the first time in my life I was actually served alcohol with no questions asked. It was 3-2 beer, but what the heck? I didn't know the difference. As he gave the heavy beer mug a shove and it slid down the wax surface of the bar, stopping perfectly right in front of me like it had brakes. I paid him a buck and got 75 cents change. What a town! But the best part of the evening was yet to come. A black piano player was getting ready to play a solo set on a baby grand piano that had seen better days and was way beyond refinishing. I slowly looked around and noticed that there was only a handful of white customers in the bar. It didn't bother me none. In fact, it added to the atmosphere. There was a single blue light bulb over the piano. He was standing on the piano bench, carefully wrapping it with tinfoil. I guess creating some sort of homemade stage light. And there I was, covered in blue light from Frogman's homemade stage light, tasting my first sip of draft beer. The singer had already started his own little one-man show. The music drew me to him like a magnet, so I picked up my beer mug and followed the magic to a few tall bar stools, which were placed all the way around the baby grand piano, creating an inviting tabletop bar, and sat down on the stool closest to the singer. The brother was singing some kind of Zydeco rhythm and blues songs that were new to this 12-year-old kid. He was playing music I'd never heard before. As I looked around, everybody was enjoying the mystical, musical moment, including myself. I didn't want it to end. The Frogman ripped through a set of long songs, and I was amazed to see the musical power of a live performance. I couldn't stop from tapping my feet and bobbing and weaving around on my bar stool. He must have noticed because halfway through a song, he swung the boom microphone in front of me and nodded his head to me to sing. I tried to imitate his musical style, but I was scared. And it sounded kind of like... He was playing great piano and singing funny octaves in a falsetto voice. I later found out that's where he had gotten his nickname, Frogman. His name was handwritten on a piece of cardboard torn off from the corner of a wine box delivery taped on the wall behind him that said, Clarence Frogman Henry. This was the first time I had ever heard my voice amplified in the unclear, dirty-sounding house PA, and the first time I had ever sung in front of any kind of audience. And to top it off, with a real musician, a professional, a guy that actually did this for a living, I already envied his job. Between the liquid courage and hearing myself, I knew I could do this. It was the first time it made me want to start flirting with rhymes. I wanted to start writing songs. In that fleeting moment under the blue light, I had realized this is what I want to do. He played his long set, allowing me to join in now and then as my confidence grew. Finally taking a break, he picked up his drink and walked around the piano, sitting down on the stool next to me. I mostly listened as he told me magical stories about always looking for a better life, running on dreams and gasoline. He told me he knew if there's no struggle, then there's no progress. But said it's still kind of ridiculous being stuck in one place for so long with no movement forward and just scraping by, pointing toward the tip jar that was empty. But it still left me with a warm feeling that I made a new friend. I asked him why he plays alone, and he said, well, those who fly solo have the strongest wings. While I was quietly digesting the heaviest thing I ever heard, a friendly buddy of his who was really chubby walked in the front door and stood there talking to Clarence, looking at his watch because he said, I got to get right back out for the next show. Clarence introduced me to him saying, this is my childhood friend Dominique. We shook hands and I listened intensely as the two of them made small talk until Dominique said, oh, I got to get back for my next set. Said to me it was a pleasure to meet you and stop by later to catch his set since he had to play till 5 a.m. As he walked out, the bartender and Dominique waved to each other. He was obviously a regular. I didn't know it then, but Frogman's friend who I had just met named Dominique already had a song on the radio too. An original song he wrote and recorded about his weight that sold a million copies in 1949, when I was only 4 years old. And then, in 1956, his biggest hit sold 5 million copies.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill.
I didn't know it then, but Dominique was Fats Domino. What else I didn't know then is that I was standing next to the two guys that wrote two of the most recognizable vocal licks that were played on the air for decades and still are on national radio stations. Because they were both friends, they used to borrow from each other, singing almost identical hook melodies on their hit records. Fats would sing like this. Frogman would sing like this. They weren't related, but Fats used to call Clarence his baby brother from another mother because Clarence was 8 years younger. The Frogman had already started his next set. I felt so fulfilled and I didn't want to leave. But it was late and I had to get back to our hotel, so before I left, I put the 3/4 change I had into the tip jar. I'll never forget his big smile and the grateful look Clarence had when he said over the PA, "Thank you kindly." And I wished I had more quarters because I felt like I owed him. When I got back to the hotel, it was almost 2 a.m., and my mom was waiting up and asked if I met anybody interesting. After a long hesitation, I just smiled and said, well, sorta. I went to bed, but I couldn't sleep. I was over the moon having rubbed elbows with real entertainers. And they were so friendly to me. I just laid there in a trance, staring at the antique tin ceiling. Monday morning, back home in my 6th grade music class, I had never missed, but I was always a week behind. One of the topics my teacher chose that day was traditional American music. She said today we're going to listen to what is called Cajun blues music, and I know none of you have ever heard of that, but let's try to have an open mind to the music expression of times long ago in America down south in the Mississippi Delta. She wheeled out a heavy portable record player on a squeaky cart and slowly took the cellophane off of a brand new 78 RPM record album. Putting the needle at the beginning of the scratchy record, the music started. I closed my eyes and was magically transported back to the last weekend drifting off. Seeing every shade of blue and hearing the magic of that smoky bar. Sitting by that raggedy old piano, I was back in the dream. Billy, Billy, the teacher yelled abruptly, snap out of it. Listen, I know you're not the least bit interested in any of this, but try to pay attention. Yep, she was right about paying attention, but not about being interested. My mind was still back at that bar in the middle of the conversation. Fats Domino and the Frogman's music still drips out of my radio, and those guys gave me so much inspiration and made time stand still over 65 years ago. Now that I have more yesterdays than tomorrows, I value those moments, and I will never forget when I met the living legends. That night, his melancholy conversation turned out to be a soul-searching testimonial I'll never forget. He told that from his heart. He said that he will probably never get any farther in the music business than he has already gone, always remaining just a local act in some backstreet bar in New Orleans. He felt that he may never get the chance to move out of his neighborhood called Algiers. He so wanted to head up north with a roadmap open in his lap and a few royalty bucks in his pocket. If only his record would do just a little bit better. Still trying to keep a positive attitude, just soldiering on, marching in the army of optimism, he told me that he is not going to accept the things he can't change, but he's going to at least try to change the things he can't accept. And the frogman pays attention every Sunday morning to the pastor in his gospel church when the glorious harmony of the choir in the back balcony gives him unlimited energy.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the world.
Takes him out of the basement and lifts him up to see the light. Makes him feel like Superman. The preacher man told him that he is braver than he even believes and smarter than he thinks. Clarence said if he would ever get the chance, he knows that the sky is not the limit. And he did get that chance. In 1964, he toured with the Beatles. But before we completed this episode, we learned of Frogman's passing. I was hoping he would hear this since he was at the heart of my story. So in memory of Clarence Frogman Henry, here's my song to him. It wrote itself about what he must have been feeling during a low point in his 87 years, when he thought he was trapped in that red clay Louisiana quicksand, and he didn't believe things would start looking up for him. This one's for you, Frogman. It's called Stuck in Storyville.
So dark in this basement, but I can still see just what these blues ever done to me. My ship went down a long time ago, and there's rocks on the bottom, I got nowhere to go. Cause there's a whole lot of hurt enough to go around. It's a rough, rough, rough just living in this town. I want out, but for sure I'm gone. I've been running on empty just a little too long. Lesson, now I know the truth. I'm gonna pack it all in, cause it ain't no use. Yeah, there's a whole lot of hurt enough to go around. It's a rough, rough, rough just living in this town. I want out, but for sure I'm gone. I've been stuck here in Storyville just a little too long. Sink or swim, I can't take it no more, cause I just can't win. I tried every lick, everything that I know, but these nasty blues, they just won't let go. Cause there's a whole lot of hurt enough to go around. It's a rough, rough, rough just living in this town. I want out, but for sure I'm gone. I've been stuck here in Storyville just a little too long. Yeah, yeah, I've been running on empty, and my last hope's gone. Last hope's gone, running on fumes.
Be sure to follow Talk a Blue Streak to stream the latest episode. Produced at Rocket Chicago by Hector Perez. Executive producer Linda Milazzo. Audio engineer and graphic design Dan Perez. For more about Billy and the Blues, go to billypruitt.com or talkabluestreak.com. Talk a Blue Streak is a registered trademark.